on this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. Welcome, it's Rosie on the house. This is the Outdoor Living Hour, the third Saturday of the month. We have Jay Harper of the Farm's Choice. Welcome back, Mr. Harper.
Good to be here. Hard to believe it's...
How did we get here already?
It's crazy. I mean, beautiful, beautiful time of year. If we could just freeze frame it so it just stayed March for about 9 months.
On March 2nd, it was my son's birthday, Remy. He turned 6. And we spent almost the whole weekend in the arena on the horses, and we actually got tans. We got tans the first weekend in March.
And that was the weekend after it snowed like a foot in the valley. So, you know, if you don't like the weather in spring in Phoenix, just wait a minute or two, right? It'll change probably, or
a month or two.
A weekend. Well, we know it's going to change in a month or two. I mean, we know what's coming. That's the bad part about spring, in my opinion. You can't beat the weather, but in the back of your mind, you know it's getting warmer and a little warmer, and it's beautiful, and it gets more beautiful. But you know that at some point, when does beautiful end? And just heat begins, right? Mm-hmm. So we got a good while yet. The weather's great. People should be getting out in the garden and enjoying it for sure.
This time of year, are we too late to plant anything, or are we just right in the perfect season?
Not at all. Now, we would have recommended you had your tomato plants in a while ago, maybe a few weeks ago, but it was so cold, clear through the whole month of February, that a lot of people probably are a little behind, including yours truly, getting tomato plants planted. But they've been in now for a little while. But getting a little bit late on tomatoes, make sure you plant an early producing variety if you're going to plant them right now. Probably your cherry types, yellow pears, early girls. You know, they're very quick maturing varieties would be best. But peppers, squash, eggplants, melons, cucumbers, right smack dab in the middle of that. It's a great time to be getting all of those vegetables in. So the spring or summer or warm season vegetables, remember, are the ones you actually pick a fruit. They're actually a fruit that you pick off of, as opposed to the winter vegetables, which are our leafy things, our root things. Now, there's obviously exceptions. But so anything that you can basically go out there and pick a fruit off of, like a cucumber, a squash, a melon, you know, an eggplant, a pepper, a tomato, that's going to be a warmer season crop for sure. And it's smack dab in the time to do that. So make sure you don't delay, and make sure you've prepared the soil. Make sure the tomato plants that you do have in, you keep fertilized regularly as well.
When we're talking getting in, are we talking from seed or from a starter plant already?
When we're talking right now, we're talking already started plants. Seeds, you need to back up probably a month at least. So if you were going to plant a tomato plant from seed, you'd want to start it about Christmas time, indoors or in a hothouse or in some type of structure, so that you can plant that tomato plant sometime about the middle of February. If you're going to plant squash or melons from seed, you probably would have wanted to do that maybe a few weeks ago. Not saying you can't, but depending on the size of your garden as well. So most people, you know, a couple, three zucchini plants in one mound is ample.
A lot of people will say zero is ample for zucchini.
I love zucchini. It's just that usually by the time you get done eating it, you're kind of tired of it. You know? But I never really get tired of it, but you're right. So to buy a whole pack of seeds, not that seeds are expensive, but it's kind of false economy in a way. And depending on how big your garden is, if you've got a humongous garden and, you know, you have to go out and buy 40 or 50 vegetable starts, well, you know, then that starts adding up and you might want to think about seeds.
Most of us don't. And I was fooled by that economy of scale thinking, you know, get all these seeds. Well, you end up kind of going crazy on the seeds. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but, oh, let's try this.
That can add up too.
Yeah. Exactly. And you've got varieties that don't work, or, you know, your plant and your success rate for a a couple bucks a starter plant and how few you need if you're just managing it for your home garden, it really is hard to beat just getting the starter plants.
Now, what is good to know, though, are the things that you can sow the seeds directly into the ground. And of course, things like root crops, you don't have much choice. Carrots, radishes, beets, turnips. You pretty much have to plant seeds. I mean, you can find starters, but that's kind of weird. And you want to plant a lot of those. Lettuce and spinach, leafy things, you might want to. And those you can sow directly into the planting bed. You don't have to start them, you know, separately. Like a tomato plant, if you're going to plant it from seed, you're sowing the seed when it's way too cold to be planting them in the ground. So you start them in a warm spot, then you transplant them. But things that you plant a whole row of or a bunch of, you can generally sow them right directly into the ground. Now, those are things you want to plant, you know, you want to buy a pack of seed for. But, you know, if you're going to do a couple, three zucchinis, you know, that's something you maybe just want to consider.
And just the time for me is where I get my money back on just buying the starter versus having to constantly be managing all those little starter ones.
Well, and if you're like me, you're generally already a little bit late anyway. So
right,
looking for starters and as big as I can find them, right?
Now, when you're looking at your starters, is there anything specific to know as you're picking them out? Or are they pretty much all have about the same amount of care and fertilizer? It's what you do once you're there in your possession where you really got to be careful.
Well, you know, the key is they should look good. I mean, they shouldn't be yellow. They shouldn't be leggy and flopping out over the edge of the pot and trailing. You know, they ought to look nice and fresh and healthy and green and vibrant, you know, to the eye. It ought to be appealing. If you want to take the next step and gently pop them out of the pot and make sure it's just not a big mass of roots, they, just like a tree or a vine or a shrub, could get root bound. Although it's a lot easier to rectify it with a vegetable starch. You can kind of peel the roots apart and slit them and break them up a little bit. But so make sure they're not root bound. Make sure they're not overgrown. Make sure they're nice and green and healthy looking. As the opposite of that, make sure they're not just little dinky things. Sometimes nurseries get a little desperate or the grower gets a little desperate and things are in short supply, especially about now when the season's been going for a little bit. And we ship things that may be, you know, a little too young to ship and plant. And you try and take those out of the starter pot and all the soil crumbles and falls away from the roots and the plant can then be in distress. So it ought to be well-rooted but not root-bound, and it ought to look good and healthy. And then, of course, make sure it's a variety that will do well here. So do a little research ahead of time.
Then putting it in soil at your home, it never looks as good as what you're getting from the nursery unless you're going straight like Mel's Mix or some kind of direct planting soil.
Well, the soil that they're growing these plants in is a soilless mix. It's all organic, you know, material, peat moss or, you know, shredded bark or cocoa fiber or a mixture of all of those, maybe even some, you know, manure of some type that's been decomposed or composted. So, and then you might see some little white stuff in there that's perlite or, it's a product in there that keeps the soil a little bit loose and improves drainage. So, no, you unless you just went down a foot deep, took all the soil out of your garden, ordered a soil mix, had it delivered, and you dumped it in the garden, you're not ever going to make your earth look the way that potting soil, basically, that these plants are grown in, the same. Now, that's one way to tell. If you have a good amount of organic material, though, is your soil should be darker than it was when you first started. So you want to add enough composted material, organic material, to the garden so that it does darken it up some. It won't stay that way, but at least it ought to be good and dark. And then I like to, when I'm all done planting, I like to take some compost, shredded bark, leafy material, straw, something, and cover the ground with it. That holds moisture. It acts as insulation. It keeps the soil from getting too hot, too cold. It reduces weeds. When you do get weeds, they're a lot easier to pull out. So really consider putting a layer of compost or mulch or organic material, shredded bark, something on top of the ground, And then next year when the garden's done, you can just kind of till that in because it's going to be pretty well composted at that point. It's been sitting there all season. So,
and that's not a one-time thing. Soil condition is ongoing. I mean, your priority is really the soil before it's the plant.
Absolutely. If you want to ensure success, you've got to prepare the soil. And you have to do it every time you plant here. As I mentioned, you know, it's going to look dark when you work all that organic material into our soil. But as especially once it goes through the summer, most of that remaining organic material is going to solubilize, disappear. It's just going to be gone. It's going to dissipate. So it just doesn't, with our heat and the amount of water we apply, we just can't keep organic material in the soil very long here. Somebody could prove me wrong and have two truckloads delivered in a 10x10 area. And you could have too much organic material based on, you do need some amount of earth or sand or something besides organic material to hold the soil together. If it's too loose and unbinding, you have a hard time watering the plants. Depending on what the organic material is, it could stay too wet or it could dry out too quick. So you could go overboard, I suppose.
And even watering, you're leaching out a lot of the minerals too. When we had our Yuma farmer in at the beginning of the year, I believe it was Desert Premium Farms, talking lettuce, they were saying 40% of the water they use to water is to leach out the calcium that's in the water.
Right. So you do end up, and especially here where we end up watering as the temperatures go up, we water more, we have to replace those nutrients in what's already a nutrient-depleted situation because of our desert environment anyway.
And if you're watering to leach out calcium, how many other minerals and deposits are you leaching out that are...
Well, you're leaching everything out.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's Rosie on the House. We're talking gardening. If you've got a question, you can text questions at 411-923 or send us an email, info@rosieonthehouse.com. And if you're looking for an organic way to control the bugs that are in your garden, eating all your hard work and the vegetables and the produce that you've got right there on your own property, our friends at Bonide have the answer for you. And Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Captain Jack's works two ways. It works on contact when you hit them, or when the insect feeds on the plants or produce that you're growing. And it's not just for vegetables use. You can use it on flowers, berries, trees, shrubs, fruit. Captain Jack's is all organic. In fact, it's so safe you can eat the produce the same day you apply Captain Jack's. You can find Captain Jack's all over the state, including Mesquite Valley Growers in Tucson, Summer Winds in Mesa, or Treeland Nursery in Mesa. You can find a local retailer as well at bonide.com. That's B-O-N-I-D-E. If you're looking for an organic way to protect your garden and landscape, Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Bonide products are family made in America.